We're also working on hopefully being part of a benefit that occurs in the winter, which is feminist focused, so that we can have one day of a benefit weekend that is already put on by another organization, but hopefully that will culminate in our participation for one of those days. So things of that nature. None of them are overly ambitious in terms of our projections of possible revenue, but I think we're both of unanimity on this, that if we do focus on development, we will receive some response and be able to increase the amount of money coming into the archives separate and apart from the support from the station. And so that's, I mean, that's a big part of what's going on in this budget is looking to work on development, just as I'm talking about at the national office level, but to really focus in on that for this unit and to change some of the dynamics of where we expect to see revenue based on what's really been going on. And we're also going to focus some in as well in terms of improving the relationship with the individual stations, and we may be able to increase tape sales there, or what we call tape sales, you know, production from the archives for fund drive for the various stations. So Brian and I are working on that as well. So that's like in terms, again, philosophically, where this budget is going. It is moving towards increasing development in other sectors so that regardless of what happens in terms of potential shortfalls from central services, we are still able to support the functions of the archives and to meet our matching requirements with the grant, because the grant itself is a big deal in terms of our receipt of the largest grant for this type of preservation work from the federal government, and the fact that it opens up other doors to us in the future for other granting opportunities if we honor all the requirements of this grant. So it's particularly important that we see to it that the revenue structure is supported for the archives from a larger perspective in terms of our place in the entire grant scheme of things and our ability to successfully apply for grants in the future. So that will be substantially supported by our successfully adhering to all the requirements of this grant, and one of those requirements is making sure that we have sufficient revenue to support our portion of the costs associated with the preservation project. So that's that is what is underlying many of the line items in development. And if you see that they were zero in years past, that's because nothing was happening there and nobody, there was no effort on the part of the national apparatus to support archives in terms of implementing these various development strategies at a very basic level to increase revenue. And now we are doing that, and we're doing it rapidly and aggressively, just as we are with other parts of the budget and operations. I'm done. Thank you.
Thanks, Summer.
Sure thing, Barn.
And this is Raul. I just wanted to add a couple of things, highlight some couple of items here. The revenue increase, the budget revenue increase from 2013 forecast to 2013 to the budget of 2014 is about $170,000. Primarily, the increase was due to the grants that we anticipate between the NHPRC, the Grammy, and the match. If you could look at line 14, 15, and 16, 15, 16, and 17, $16,000, $36,823, and $3,000. The total of that is $59,834, which is which has a corresponding expense matching. It's a restricted fund for that you can see under programming, the $59,834 under line 86, $59,834. So if you see that increase in programming expense, that is primarily the major cause of that increase in programming expense. The same thing with the revenue side, of the $170,000 revenue increase being budgeted in 2014, $59,000 of that is coming from these restricted grants. And $40,000 is coming from the direct mail campaign, as Summer and Brian had indicated. And another point is that sales to the premium sales to the station, an increase of about $40,000, of $64,147 from 24,967 in 2013. Those numbers are real numbers that we got from the budgets of the five radio stations. So we transferred them over to this line, those budgeted PRA premiums in each of the radio stations that we approved. We reflected it in this line item number 14. So that is basically kind of the increase in the revenue budget, and the expenses is primarily based on the restricted funds and the matching cost of those grants. And that's my input.
Great. Thanks, Raul.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think at this point we're pretty much ready to go to Q&A. And we're going to do that right now because we have Brian and Summer here. And again, just as a reminder, Q&A is basically focused on points of clarification about numbers or requests to go into more depth about why the numbers are what they are. Opinions about the numbers are generally reserved for the temperature-taking phase. So we're basically just trying to ask informational questions and get more information. So is there a stat for questions?
Arpal?
I have one. Okay, Arpal, anybody else? Okay, let's start with Arpal.
Okay, looking in here, there are, you're projecting 8 FTEs for PRA for FY14? Say again?
Brian?
That's correct.
Okay.
This is Raul. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Now, yeah.
I can hear you now, Brian.
Okay. So 8 FTEs, and I noticed the payroll tab has no numbers. We see a total payroll for every month, but that's it. The station budgets tend to have the have a breakout that's a little more detailed than that.
We are just adhering to most of the radio station's budget that the detail of each individual employee's payroll will be blacked out during this process.
Hi, this is Brian again. Sorry I fell off or got kicked off.
Blacked out from the NFC?
No, I we were just following what everybody was doing during the and you know the budget meetings.
Okay, those numbers are not offline for the NFC. They shouldn't be. They should be included in the budget document that goes to the board. We do sometimes take precautions with local station boards, and there's a question of whether that should be done or not. And at some point when we're done with budgets, which will be one day, we're going to pick up some of the transparency policy stuff that we were working on last year and never finished.
That's right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Some
yeah.
Directions on that. Just on the to clarify the 8 FTEs, one of the development person in Brian's budget, H. Larson, I think this person is being budgeted for 3 months. Correct me
right.
If I'm wrong,
that's
Brian,
right?
Right?
And
yeah,
so,
that's
please don't refer to anyone on the stream if you would, please. Thank you.
Sorry. Thank you, Summer. So, yeah, there is a part-time hire right now at full-time only through December 31st to increase our revenue on our website and promote the fund drive, promote the grant, and set us up with a more strategic look at our website and social media, particularly with our transfer to a new content management system website and that interlinked the database of the collection with our website and our shopping cart. So it's 7 year-round with an extra 3 months. It started October 1st through December 31st.
Okay. Paul, are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anybody else on the stack? Okay.
Richard.
I guess I'll call on my... Oh, sorry. Okay, Richard, go ahead.
Good evening, Brian. This is Richard Uzzell in Houston.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, Brian. First off, I want to congratulate you on all your good work. You're operating in tough waters and doing a good job, and I appreciate all your work in securing those grants and getting our stuff out there where more folks can use it and see it and live with it. I had a question that's not directly to the budget. It's just a couple of months ago we passed a motion on the board to, I don't know if it was to allow the stations or to direct the stations to pay you directly their 2.5% rather than sending it through the national office. How much is that being done?
Actually, I'm going to refer to Summer and Raul on that, and because you know we're at a point where the cash flow is difficult anyway. So Central Services isn't theirs at a lot of times. So we're getting what we can get, and getting information is important too. So sometimes the listener support at the local level has to be done, and then like affiliation done. So Raul, do you want to speak to that?
Actually, the 2.5% that for the stations that are paying, we are offsetting them against what we are sending them through the payroll funding that we had advanced for PRA and other expenses that we pay at the national level. Whatever left on the 2.5% is being put into the intercompany. We have not, in answer to your question, Richard, we have not actually fully remitted 2.5% on a routine basis. It's always getting offset with the advances.
Okay, I think the feeling in the board was that we wanted to make sure that your money was coming in a more anticipatory way, whatever the word is. And if it's not, we need to look at it more closely to make sure that you get your money more directly.
There are stations that, like Houston, are sending them directly to PRA.
How many stations? Are all the stations?
The three paying stations are sending them, but sometimes it goes through the, like LA would send it directly to them. Houston will send it, and there are a couple instances where it was sent to us, and then we just offset it.
Okay. And what is there a line in the national office budget that shows that 2.5% coming through?
Yeah, we offset it against PRA's intercompany account.
Okay. Keep up the good work, Brian, and I hope you get your money.
Thanks, Richard.
Okay. I am going to put myself on the stack. Is there anyone else who wants to be on first?
Yeah, this is Tony.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say I had the opportunity to tour the facilities yesterday, actually. And I was very impressed with the operations there at Archives, and want to do everything we can to sustain them, and hopefully it can be self-sustained.
Thanks, Tony.
And I want to thank Brian and the work that they're doing over there. I was very impressed with the way they operate their system there in L.A.
Thanks, Tony. It was a pleasure giving you a tour and introducing you to staff.
Okay. Alright, so I'm going to ask my question. I'm guessing that this is probably related to the grant. And, you know, and it's important to mention that we're looking at a budget that is, you know, jumping up substantially in size. And that's because the Archives got a great grant, which is wonderful. but it also means that the comparison of last year's numbers to this year's numbers are going to be slightly out of kilter because we're looking at it kind of a different universe in some ways. But the specific question probably has to do with the grant, Brian. I just want a little clarification.
Sure.
Line 86 takes restoration. It's like we're in a whole different universe. It's a vastly increased number. And I'm guessing that's the extra work that will be done as a result of the grant.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, the budget I'm looking at doesn't have the line number. I only have the code number. Is that,
code number is 6699.
Oh, that helps greatly. Thank you. I'm flipping up and down. 6699, tapes restoration. You have 59,834. That's the NHPRC and the Grammy Foundation grant. So there's actually two grants mingled in there. And in my budget notes, I do have that separated out for you. So 36,823 is dedicated to the NHPRC Women's Grant. And then what's left over of the Grammy Foundation grant is 20,011. And then there's a $3,000 match that we put into NHPRC, but that's in a different line. So that's what the 59 is.
That's what I figured. I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay.
And then I guess the
item... Note. Next year, the NHPRC is a two-year grant, which is $128,000. So this first year is basically taking one-third of the project, and then next year it'll be two-thirds. So this 36,823 for the NHPRC, next year it's going to be 97,000.
Mm-hmm.
So just, there you go. Note to self for next year.
Okay, understood. Thank you. It's good to know how those numbers are running through here. My second question is a little bit about, and this is the last one, a little bit about the direct mail development efforts.
Yeah.
Looks to me like we're significantly ramping up the direct mail efforts for the archives, which I think is good. We've got $20,000 budgeted for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're presuming that's going to get us about $40,000 coming in, which sounds appropriately balanced. Are you going to have some development assistance in sort of doing that volume of mailing?
Summer will back me up or correct me if I'm wrong, because we're pretty new. I'm pretty new at that game for many years. Like Summer said, we hadn't done a direct mail out of the archives since 2007, I think, maybe 2006. And we're working with Goalbusters, and we are working on a direct mail that will go out sooner than later. And we're really targeting a women's audience and renting lists from like Ms. Magazine and other target audiences to increase the promotions and relevance of this National Archives grant and the subject matter that we're doing. For instance, I went to the Veteran Feminists of America convention and just met everybody from educators and lecturers and authors and made sure that they knew that we were doing this project, and they're very enthusiastic. So that target, and then so we'll send out the first one, which will gather new names and addresses, like new contacts for the archives. We'll do a follow-up mailing that will gather more unique names, and then we're going to do another mailing in March, which would be Women's History Month. So really we're trying to get the biggest bang for our buck from the fact that the National Archives sees our women's collection as being important to American history.
Okay. That sounds pretty simple.
Yeah, the goal is, if I may just address that further, we're working with Goalbusters on this one. I'm probably going to be doing some work with Man Rubin in New York on future things. But, yes, we are. That's why I'm fighting so hard for some development in my budget is, yes, we are working with professionals and to do this correctly and to make this a regular part of our lives going forward. And, yes, with the Feminist Project, we are definitely targeting specific audiences that we think go outside of just the Pacifica audience, which obviously we do quite a lot of fundraising within the existing pool of donors. but with a target audience that is likely to support the feminist project as well. So. Thank you.
All right. Are there any other questions from the committee? Okay. Then I think structurally what we're going to do is we're going to thank Brian for his time and tell him that he's...
Point of information. I just wanted to highlight one other information before we could forget. The shared services income for BRA, the one that you're looking at, line 30, has been reduced on the same theory that we were introducing with national office, that WPFW would be paying about 50% and WBAI would be at 20%. So that number is actually reduced and adjusted down already, the $192,000.
Oh, I wish you had shown that in the document.
Yeah, that's what I was asking before, is if that number in our national office budget was the adjusted number, because I thought that was one of the reasons we showed that deficit. Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, for PRA, yes. For the national office, there was an adjustment at the bottom of the budget where we showed the adjustment. We presented the full amount, and then we had a line at the bottom of the budget for national office with the adjustment for programming as well as those
can you characterize for us what full shared services for the archives, what that amount would be, so we can compare it to the 192 that you've put in here?
Okay, I could easily do that.
Adjustments like that should be laid out in the document so we can see them.
Okay.
And that's for 2012, right?
For 2014.
Okay.
The shared services, if you see the tab, Richard, you're looking at the shared services fees tab that says 2011 and 2012. That's actually 2014. For fiscal year 2014, just not.
That kind of makes a difference.
right. So PSW should have an additional 15744 and 7831. That's an additional $47,000.
Additional $47,000. Okay, thank you.
$47,000.
How much?
$47,000.
That's what I said. Okay, an additional $47,000.
Okay.
Because however we record the shared services in the national office budget, we should probably use the same format in the archive. In other words, they're either discounted or not discounted consistently.
We'll
confuse ourselves.
Yeah, when we originally submitted the national and the PRA, they're both reduced or adjusted at the same time.
Yeah, I'm just saying. However, whatever we do in one budget, we should do in the other budget. So they work the same way. Okay. Okay. Thanks. Okay, that was an important point. So back to where we were. I know it's a little frustrating to shift gears between budgets, but I think at this point, thank you, Brian. We're going to come back and revisit your budget, I hope tonight, but I think that we need to pretty much finish up our national office process. And, of course, that will also impact some of the shared services numbers for the archive. You are welcome to listen in on the stream if you want. And I will tell you if we take any action on the archives budget, sort of where we are at the end of the hour.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much for your time allowing me to present it. I know it's not every year that I get to do it. And I'll just say, lastly, that you know the archive staff has been around for many, many years, and we're confident as a team that we're presenting a budget that's speculative yet hopeful and realistic all at the same time with some backup plans. And there's still positive things to talk about with other grants and other institutions already interested in partnering with us and helping us out, but they're not ready for announcement yet. But that's my final say-so, and thanks all for your support.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Okay. All right, so everybody take a breath. We're going to shift gears, head back towards the national office budget. I am going to say that we should be consistent in our treatment of shared services for both the national office and the archives. So whatever we decide to do, we should keep a consistent form between the two divisions, because otherwise I think we're going to end up with books that don't make any sense. So let's kind of take that into account, and some of what we've heard in the archives discussion should hopefully inform whatever we decide to do about the national office budget. Okay, so my sort of take on the temperature taking was that Richard had some concerns about projecting 100% of shared services. If we pull that back in the national office budget, then we will get rather quickly into a deficit position. So really our choices are to keep it as is or to get into a provisional scenario with the increases in staffing that we're projecting, which we can do. So I guess at this point it's sort of the will of the committee. How comfortable are we with a budget document that presumes 100% central services payments from the East Coast? I am less uncomfortable with it than I have been at some point in the past, but I know that you're not comfortable, Richard. So give us an idea of what would work better for you.
Well, I heard Summer saying that Summer, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's of those, I think there were three items, development, human resources, and what, programming?
Right.
You've got X amount of money in those accounts or in that budget part.
Mm-hmm.
If we reduce the amount coming from all the stations to 90% of the total rather than 100%, could you just as easily reduce each one of those three by 10%? And you would still have a sizable number sitting there that you could work with, but it might be more realistic about what kind of money's coming in.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with being flexible with whatever seems reasonable to the committee. I just want to have a little flexibility to make the improvements we need. But yeah, sure, I could work with that. Thank you.
Thank you.
So you're suggesting a 10% overall reduction in shared services?
The East Coast, though. I don't think he means the other stations. He just means New York and D.C., right?
No, I mean the whole thing. Because we budget things right up to the wall.
90%. Yeah.
We budget things right up to the wall, and I'm appalled that we don't have any more cushion in these things than we do. And, there's no guarantee that the rest of us are going to make our 100% either.
So I'm fine with whatever the committee decides to do. Honestly, I'm just looking for the authority and the wiggle room to be able to fund this stuff as we're able to do so. And obviously that's dependent on A, making decent money at the stations, and B, undoubtedly reducing some costs elsewhere in the system. Okay, but I will acquiesce to whatever allows me the latitude to at least be able to address these concerns.
Barbara with a comment.
Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, I'm thinking of the thing that wasn't stressed a great deal, but I heard somebody talking about reviewing things at the end of the first quarter to decide certain things. And it seems to me that that's hardly enough time, for instance, if Summer were to hire people to cover the things she needs, that it ought to be at least mid-year where any review is done to decide whether, you know, the rest of the year looks like it can cover what she's begun. We're already nearly through with one-third of the first quarter. So anyway, that's my thought about the assessment that is obviously going to be ongoing as this year progresses.
Okay, I am messing around with some numbers.
While you do that, let me respond to that real quick, because I was the one that said something about that. Barbara, I don't anticipate us showing up like the guy with a hockey mask on and machetes in our hands. I just say that after that first quarter that we should be looking at it. And Tracy has corrected me that the committee normally does that. Apparently we didn't have the financial information to do it with. But I think that just looking at the progress as we go along makes sense. I don't think we need to go, you know, I'm not anticipating some kind of a draconian response or anything. It's just, we shouldn't wait till the last minute. And 6 months in is the last minute, because you don't get the ship turned that quickly.
I wasn't saying we shouldn't review at a quarter. We should review all the time. But I meant give it a half a year before you decide that, in fact, you can't really continue employment of some contractor that you have.
Well, I remember the earlier thing that Summer was saying was that she's going to play it by ear and probably not do anything until the first of the year. Is that correct, Summer?
Yes and no. I have to utilize human resources here and there, and sometimes I obviously don't control when that happens. Development, I'm pushing forward on, because I'm going to get a letter out the door. I'm going to address other things. I'd like to be able to spend something on that. What I'm saying is I'm probably not going to go trying to staff like a programming position if we haven't brought down some costs elsewhere, or we haven't got, I mean, if we're getting money back on development and I'm increasing that, but I'm going to need to spend some between now and the first year. What I'm saying is
yeah.
Expect to put somebody necessarily on staff in one of these positions unless I've seen some improvements, particularly like
that. Yeah, yeah, I appreciate that. Hey, let me real quickly throw in a thing here. I was praising Brian DeChaser for all his good work. I want to also say good things about our executive directors working so closely with him on that and all these other budget things and things for the future and the development in the future and stuff. I'm glad y'all are making those kind of in-the-future planning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Summer.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
All right, I'm going to jump in here a little bit with temperature taking, just because I played with some numbers, and I think part of the problem is that we're trying to do two things with the budget at the same time. One is assess where we actually are, and number two, talk about sort of what we want to do in the next year going forward. It's sometimes hard to make one document do both things at the same time. So I went a little bit back to where we actually are, and just to sort of, you know, throw some numbers in there. If we hold our current staffing levels and increase nothing in the national office, assume that our programming contracts will go forward as they are, and that we will make approximately 100% of our shared services, then we're pretty much at a balanced budget. Of course, that may not happen, and we have some back debts. But we are at a balanced budget for this year. The things that we're flipping involve about $200,000 more in staffing. A 50% decline in the contracting, in the programming contracts that we're hoping. And how much, if any, of the shared services we can expect. My personal feeling for budgeting purposes is that if you're taking that money out of the station divisional budgets, it has to come into the national office budget, because otherwise your books aren't going to balance. You know, we have to have a consolidated budget that makes sense. So I think the full shared services amounts, because we have an accrual accounting system, have to come forward into this budget. So I would lean towards a contingency on increasing staffing costs related to reducing programming costs. And kind of, you know, hold us accountable as an organization for having our stations meet their approximate income goals. I don't think that knocking the shared services down has worked in the past. And I don't think it creates a situation where we suddenly are more economically healthy, because basically we can't be economically healthy unless we are able to cover our expenses. So how do people feel about making staffing increases in the national office, which I agree that we need, contingent on our programming contracts reaching a more reasonable number, which I think that they likely will? But that is essentially what we try to fund things with, rather than funding things with partial shared services, which I don't think we should do. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
How
okay.
That?
Somebody takes notes.
From here it makes sense. Summer.
I mean, basically, it would mean, Summer, that you'll have as much income to work with as you're able to negotiate.
I get it. As much money as I can make, or as much money as I can save, that'll be the money I have to work with to make the other improvements that we need to make. It seems fair enough to me.
Okay. Richard, how does that make you feel?
I have a question, Tracy. So, just to be totally clear, you're saying that we would use some reduced figure, less than 100%, for central services in both the national budget and the archives.
No, I'm saying
the opposite.
I'm saying the opposite.
Okay.
I think that from a budgeting point of view,
that's
we're
fine. I got it clear now.
What they have to pay, and if we're going to grow the national office budget, it's going to come from things that we're able to negotiate. Because I very much want to see us straightening out our internal, you know, income relationships. Okay. Nobody seems to be too upset with me.
I'm gonna buy the car. You know, I just don't think we ought to go out of the showroom with three wheels. I don't know. Would it hurt anybody's feelings to pare those three things down and show a surplus and show doing your 100% thing, and then that would, if you pared those down, you would show a surplus of a little bit more. I'd rather show a surplus and work with that rather than get everything we want on the page and then pray or whatever we're going to get there.
Okay. Well, here's what the problem.
Our prayers.
Here's what the problem is. If we pare down shared services, and we do not.
I'm not talking about fair and necessary. I'm saying if you take the 100%, which I can understand, you need to reflect the same thing on all those things as they come through. Could we possibly pare down those three items of the development, human resources, and programming? I guess program's not in that. But pare those down in the budget, show it as a surplus, and then if you get it, you're not pushed by a budget that's bigger than you can handle. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, we can do that. I think the way that would work, I'm just going to talk it through so I have some idea of what numbers to put in what columns. I think what that would look like is we would put in 100% shared services from the stations. We would put in a reduction in our programming contract that we think is reasonable. We would keep our current staffing level, and we would show a fairly large surplus, and then we would put on a provision that if, in fact, these numbers hold, that we would anticipate staffing improvements in the national office in the approximate amount of X. Does that make sense?
This is Barbara. It sounds as though you're saying that the hirings in the national office couldn't take place until the numbers prove to be true, which delays it quite a bit.
Well, I think one of two things would have to be true. We would have to achieve some level of contractual savings. Or we would have to demonstrate full payment of shared services for at least a quarter or two. Unless one of those things happens, we don't have the money to add salary. So we wouldn't be adding it with money that actually existed. I think those are simply the facts.
And I trust the executive director not to be out there trying to spend money she doesn't have.
We have more people working right now if we get a furnace. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's completely right. And if you make it provisional on either, you know, saving the money that is being put into the provisional assumptions or making more money than is expected in our revenue, either way, that's, yes, I can still live with that. So.
Or pull this guy.
Okay, Paul, go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, I think we need to do it in some provisional way, whether, you know, whatever formula people are into. I think it comes down to, from the way I'm looking at it, it comes down to, will plan A of contractual reduction work or not, and to what degree? And that will determine what money there is for any hires whatsoever. If plan A completely vaporizes, I don't think you've got money to hire those three positions in any kind of capacity whatsoever. So I think the whole thing, or almost the whole thing, comes down to the plan A reduction. And if that works, then can do. If not, no can do. So I think it's pretty simple when you look at it that way.
Yeah.
I like that, Arpa.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
Okay. Well, I think that leaves us with something that sounds like consensus, unless there's people that haven't spoken that don't have consensus. Is there anybody being quiet who's just alarmed by what they're hearing? Okay. So I'm going to make a suggestion, which is that we start turning to a conversation of the archives budget. I'm going to do a little bit of putting numbers into this budget to reflect the conversation. And then I'll send out a working as of 10:22 in about 10 minutes. Everybody can look it over. And it will have that provisional contingency underneath. I just want to make sure that the numbers are accurate so I don't give Raul a document that, you know, has mistakes in it. And then we can put it up for a vote.
Now, which one are you doing this for?
This is the National Office budget.
Oh, okay. I thought you said the archives.
Yeah, because we're moving a couple of things, and I just want to make sure that the columns add up so that Raul doesn't shoot me later. So give me about 10 minutes to do that, and then we should have a document that we can vote on. Raul, I'll make sure the budget FY 2014 column is correct. Obviously, I'm not going to go into the cash flow and some of the other sheets. Yeah, okay. All right, so let me do that, and I will let you guys proceed with a conversation on the archives. What we should say is if we're going to be consistent with carrying shared services through, then we have another $47,000 to put into the archives budget, which will give us a large surplus on paper that could be helpful for them to absorb any shortfalls that might occur, or we could look at some of their expenses and revenue and maybe make some compensating adjustments. That's up to you guys. So why don't you go through a round of temperature taking around archives, and I'll attend to get us an updated working copy for National Office, okay? And I'm going to put the phone on speakerphone, and maybe, or Paul, you could temporarily take over and do a little archives discussion. I'll listen, but I want to put the phone down and pull out a calculator.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. So let me write this down because I have to write this down. Okay. So what we should do then is go around and, I mean, unless somebody has, well, I think we've done the questions. Does anybody have further questions on the PRA budget proposal? Any number type questions or anything like that? Hearing none, I guess we'll do temperature taking. And I guess we should go, let's see, we started with the East Coast before, let's go to the West Coast. And Barbara, why don't you go first, what you think about the PRA budget?
Well, I guess I'm feeling like voting yes on it if the 47,000 is added. I recognize there's some speculation there, but hell, there's a lot of speculation in all of our budgeting. So I think it seems to be well crafted if that change is made.
Okay, I guess Tracy's doing something else, so we'll go next. Let's see. John Cromshaw isn't here, I think, right?
Yes, I was.
You are here now. Oh, okay. John Cromshaw is here. John, what is your feeling about temperature for PRA?
Well, it seems to me that Brian put together a very reasonable budget. It seems realistic. I think he has been doing a great job in doing what he has set forth to do. He's looking at ways of getting other income through grants. He's been successful in the past, so I would favor this budget.
Okay. Mike, are you here? Michael Novick? No. Okay. Jim Boyd?
Yeah, I would one of the suggestions by Tracy was to increase some expenses to take care of the increase in the revenue. I just assume they have a surplus, and if they want to use it, they can use it whichever way they want. And go with it that way. Just kind of a side note, I was kind of felt good about how they were marketing some of their products to university courses, and that could be a real good avenue for them to have some specific targeted CDs that would be a pretty steady stream, and I would hope they would approach that some more. But I would just assume, have the increase in revenue stay the way it is and just have a surplus instead of having some of the expenses increase to offset it, so it comes out just about average. That's my thoughts.
Okay, Richard?
I totally agree with what was just said about let's not go back into the budget, because they came up with good numbers. Summer worked with them, and it may not, that number may not happen. So, but yeah, I'm so proud of the Archives. I think Archives is the most professionally run sort of aspects of the national office. Isn't one of the most professional things that Pacifica does, and it has such value. I just hope we can get to where we can really use it more, get more grants, get it out there more, like you just said, that, get it into the colleges and needs to get into the little folks schools too. But yeah, I'm ready to approve it. Thank you.
Okay, is Marcus here? No, Tony. Tony, are you here? Tony or Marcus, either one. Going once, twice, three times. Okay, Meneja, are you here?
Yes, I am. I'm really impressed with the Archives, and I'm so happy that they are being proactive in promoting the Archives and especially with colleges and universities as become part of the inclusion in the curriculum of the courses. And he was talking about other grants that are in the process but are not mentioned. I'm very happy with the Archives, and I'm so happy that it's growing and becoming more known and used. Because Archives not used is, it's really waste. But I would definitely support the budget.
Okay. Are any of the people who got skipped here, is Marcus Jeter or Michael Novick or Tony here? Hearing none. I agree that it's really great that PRA is able to go to these other sources, and I think this also helps Pacifica, because we hear a lot about the stations needing to appeal to younger listeners and all of this, and here we have people in a university environment who are by definition young people. And PRA is telling them, Pacifica has done this, that, and the other thing on these specific issues, and here are the programs. So they're doing what a lot of people are saying the stations need to do, which is they're really appealing to the youth besides making money in the short term. I think PRA may be helping a lot with this university stuff of getting listeners for the Pacifica Foundation and the Pacifica Network for the future. So, yeah, that's sounds like good stuff to me. And, yeah, I think I can go with this budget. And the last person, I guess, who we haven't heard from is Tracy, who's probably still busy. Are you still busy crunching numbers, Tracy?
Yeah, I'm about another 5 to 10 minutes away from having something that makes sense. So if you guys could give me a couple more minutes, I'd appreciate it. It sounds like we're not going to have a bad time with the archives budget, which is nice. They will be showing a very large surplus if we add $47,000. So the only comment that I would make is that we, you know, we could give a little bit of padding in some of their expenses, or maybe take a little bit of pressure off some of the development goals. Not that we don't want them to pursue it, just that we don't necessarily have to show some of the development goals as aggressively as they are in the budget. But I'm okay with approving it with a large surplus.
Can we go ahead and approve it?
I won't stop you guys.
Well,
I move that the budget be for the Pacific Archives be approved.
Hold on one second. I got to write this down.
Richard, I have a question for Richard.
Okay.
Is this with the additional $47,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
As surplus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what I have then is the NFC approves the PRA budget with the additional $47,000 from 100% Central Services and recommends its approval to the PNB. I'll read it again. The NFC approves the PRA budget with the additional $47,000 from 100% Central Services and recommends its approval to the Pacifica National Board. So that's your motion?
Sounds good.
Okay. Any debate on that motion? Seeing none. Is there any objection to passing that motion? Hearing no objection, it's passed without objection.
Thank you.
Okay, so that got done. Okay. Well, now we're waiting a bit for Tracy here, and she's gonna.
Yeah, there's a couple of, you know, lines in here that need to be adjusted. Are people okay with just taking a 5 or 10 minute break while I do that?
I could sing.
I'll tell you what, when the break is up, somebody whistle really loud. I'm going to put my phone down.
So if people want a recess for, let's see, it's 39 now. Do people want to recess for 6 minutes?
Okay.
We will do a recess. We'll do a recess for 6 minutes, and I'll yell on the phone or something in 6 minutes. Okay.
Okay. Hey, so we'll reconvene at 7:45 Pacific. Deal.
10:45. Hey, Paul, and you're singing. Can we not do that and say we did?
Reminded of a Star Trek episode. Okay. All right. So we'll wait till 9:45.